Joe is big on reading about the history of music, maybe even bigger, reading about it than listening to it, and often has a metaphor of like some obscure thing that happened to some band. And one day I was trying to figure out how to train a new editor, and I was like, Joe, what is the music industry metaphor for editing?
And it is the Funk Brothers.
The Funk Brothers, not to be confused with the Blues Brothers, which I think I did when I tried to explain it to someone else once.
The Blues.
And now I'm understanding why they were so confused.
The Blues Brothers is a made-up fictional band, like most fictional bands.
Very different metaphor.
The
Funk Brothers, real band.
The Blues Brothers is the origin of Let's Get the Band Back Together. Hi, I'm Joe Beal, the founder and CEO of Microcosm Publishing. I'm also the author of A People's Guide to Publishing, which distills what I've learned from selling millions of books over the past 28 years.
I'm Ellie Blue, the vice president of Microcosm. We started this podcast to share what we've learned with newer publishers, so you can learn from our mistakes. Or maybe you just want to learn about the publishing industry.
This week, we are going to talk about where we got all of our maybe brilliant, maybe terrible ideas about how editorial work should be structured.
Oh, yeah.
But the Funk Brothers are a fantastic documentary about them called They Outsold the Beatles and the Stones, the most famous band you've never heard of. And they played on just about every early R&B track. They were a studio house band. But they took it, like, to another level where, like, you know, if you know that famous guitar riff and Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, like, that's not the artist, that's the Funk Brothers, you know? And if you know the genre and you don't know the Funk Brothers, I highly recommend you figure out why, like, so many songs of that era and of that genre have such good musicianship. And it's because, well, it's the, like, same four guys that, like, you wouldn't be able to identify in a crowd because they're not on the album. They were often not credited in writing the songs, but they provided a lot of the writing, a lot of the musicianship, and, you know, I mean, in a lot of cases, they did more than the producers, so, mm-hmm. You know.
And maybe in some cases more than the actual artist or songwriter.
Well, yeah, that's true, right? Because in a lot of cases, the artist doesn't necessarily write the song.
Yeah. Well, the thing that made this, like, such an apt metaphor for our public, for our editorial department is that I watched the documentary, totally blown away by these guys. And one of their superpowers was kind of getting to know the artist, starting to work with them, and then figuring out what level of support they needed. Like, some artists would come in and they'd be, like, very fresh, very new. The studio would have discovered them. They wouldn't necessarily know how to sing with a band. They wouldn't know necessarily the mechanics of songwriting. They might just, like, have nothing. The Funk Brothers would fill in those gaps for them. They would, like, help them write the song. They would help them do all the parts. They would provide all of the music behind it. And then other artists would come in and they would have, like, a very clear vision, very strong skills, and basically be able to carry themselves. And for them, the Funk Brothers were like, great, we're going to step back and just be the backing band. And, like, what we have to contribute is just to support you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that, as an editor, it's like knowing how much help to give, where you're, like, you know, on the one hand, like, taking a pretty big hand in steering how the author writes the book, and on the other hand, you're just, like, kind of cleaning and polishing up after them.
Right.
Usually something in between.
And the reason the Funk Brothers are relevant here is because in most bands, the whole point is the tension between the members and the dynamic between the members, that, like, so-and-so feels awkward around such-and-such, and that's what, like, prompts them to not do the things they would do as a solo artist. Or it's the two people's, like, competitive nature that drives them to greatness, or it's, like, the way that, you know, they're just a really tight, cohesive unit that, you know, without each other, it's just not very good, you know? Whereas, like, yeah, the Funk Brothers' talent was not just in selling, like, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of albums. It was in the fact that, like, yeah, they could be as prominent or subtle as was appropriate.
Right, and they also, like, I feel like also similarly to an editorial editor or editorial team at a publishing house, like, they provided a unified sound for all of that label's recordings. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't necessarily make everything sound the same, but they made it sound recognizable, and I like to think that we kind of have a microcosm sound. Like,
yes.
You know you're reading a microcosm book.
When?
You definitely know when you're not.
And that's the important part here, is that, you know, most publishers take pitches and or, like, quote-unquote finished manuscripts, and then do, like, a line edit and a polish and a proof, and that's kind of that. And then, but whereas we're more saying, like, you know, we're often working more as, like, a developer, or, like, you know, we come up with the ideas and we say, like, hey, we're looking for books about this. And then we bring in more of an expert to write the book, and then the expert needs more of a backing band, because they know all the stuff, but they don't know how to unpack the stuff. They don't know how to write the narrative out. They don't know how to tell the reader what they don't know in the correct sequence to make it all make sense. And I feel like that is been the magic formula of our books, is that we can say, here is a topic, and reading this book will help you to understand it in a new way.
Yeah, and it's like, not all of our books have the same writing style as a result of this at all. Like, they don't all read the same, but, like, you kind of know, you can make some assumptions about what you're going to get going in, and, like, when we do screw up and we don't provide that level of editorial support, like, we hear about it from readers. They're like, this isn't a microcosm book. This is strange.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's good to keep us honest. Thanks, readers.
And so I think that's the way to think about editorial.
Yeah, and, like, when we talk about being reader-oriented, that's what we mean. We mean our specific readers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who we're editing the books for.
And we mean that the book is tailored to the reader, not to the author or to the retailer or anyone else.
To the publisher.
Thanks for joining us once again.
Please send your questions to podcast@microcosmpublishing.com so we can answer them on future episodes.
And please give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed.
You can find us on the internet at microcosm.pub.
On Twitter at microcosm.
On Facebook at microcosm publishing.
On Instagram at microcosm_pub.
And here in Portland, Oregon on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week.